Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. Would you pray with me? Father God, we turn to your word. We do so knowing and believing that it is indeed the living word, and knowing and believing that you are most certainly right here among us. And so as we gather in your presence, would your spirit move in each of us to help us hear what it is you want us to hear? So you, O God, might help us do what it is you want us to do. And so you might help us be who it is you want us to be. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. News stories from just the past week. You're like, great. Why did I come for that? Ongoing questions about the president's taxes. A former Illinois megachurch pastor who, among other charges, is now accused of trying to hire a hitman to out his son-in-law. I should say former son-in-law. The mission agency that I served under for 2 years, under fire this week for ignoring claims of child abuse and keeping suspected folks on the field, putting other children at risk for years at a time. That's just three of them. Notice any common denominators in these stories, besides they're a mess. They're all people or institutions, groups, that we thought we could trust, that maybe we can't. You know as well as I do that we live in a culture that is begging for some folks to live with integrity. These are the days that the term fake news has become a common household saying. While all these issues are fresh off the press, it turns out that Jesus' people have always been called to be a people who are known by the honest lives they lead. Turns out, even 2,000 years ago, Jesus had this hunch that folks would always see his fingerprints on his people as they lived consistent lives among others. And you know what was true then is just as true today. Our world is looking for some people of integrity. A people who mean what they say when they say it. A people who talk the talk and what? Walk. See, you know it because you're looking for it. And walk the walk. Luke 16:10. I've never preached a sermon on one verse. But this one verse, you don't need much more, do you? It's helpful on this. Jesus says, whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. Because you see, sometimes we make integrity only about those really big things that blow up. Blowing our entire paycheck on some gambling binge and then trying to cover it up. Infidelity. Lying under oath. Fraud. Those are the breaches of integrity that we all know about, no doubt about that. But truth is, if we start thinking about it, all of these things, what they really are, is just a culmination of something that started long before the explosion, right? Integrity, it's really about this daily, consistent living in those gazillion little things. For all those little things, for better or worse, become the big things. If you're faithful with just a little, Jesus says, it is safe to assume that you will be faithful with a lot. If you're dishonest with just a little, Jesus says, it's safe to assume odds are you're going to be dishonest with a lot. Integrity. It's who we are when no one's looking. It's who we are in all those little things that no one's keeping track of. Those are the things that reveal in our heart of hearts who we really are. Jesus' people are called to lives of integrity. Let's break it down just a little bit. Integrity, first of all, it's being honest in all of those little daily things that we do. Actions, deeds. An affair doesn't usually just happen in one day, but it often starts with seemingly harmless text message exchange back and forth, something very simple, something very small. No one takes their first sip of alcohol or their first hit of whatever substance and think, gee, I would really love to become an addict one day. Sounds great. No, it's just this little simple move to fit in or to just get this little bit of relief. And then one day we wake up and it's taken over our lives. But it started so small. Folks who embezzle thousands of dollars from their companies, if you talk to them, they will almost always say something like this. You know, it just started when I took a roll of tape from the work supply closet or just took a $5 bill from the register. I was going to pay it back, but it was easy. Something got out of hand, and it all started with the tiniest decision somewhere along the way to be dishonest. He who's faithful in the little things will be faithful in the big things. I think that's what happened to Judas. If I ask you about Judas, what's the one thing you know about him? He betrayed Jesus. That's the right church answer. That's what he is, right? He's the guy who betrayed Jesus. That was his one thing. That big thing that exploded in his life. The one thing that he would be remembered for, that he would carry to his grave. It was that kiss. That kiss. That moment that everyone knew that guy does not have any integrity. That guy that's walking around with squeaky clean feet because Jesus had just washed them. Moments later, collecting his 30 silver coins and saying, "That's the man you want to arrest. Right there, go and get him. He's right there." How could this guy who's been following Jesus around for 3 years, who stood right beside him when he freed that little boy from demons, who watched him when he touched the leper and made him clean, who had seen him calm storms and feed multitudes, this guy who had heard Jesus preach with passion and compassion, words like none had ever heard before, this guy who had seen Jesus raise a dead man from the grave, how could he turn on him just like that for a handful of cash? How could he? I'll tell you how. Long before that day, Judas had let his integrity slide just bit by bit in the tiniest of things. In John 12, Mary comes to anoint Jesus with expensive perfume. Remember that story? She's pouring it out, and Judas gets a whiff of it, and he's mad. And Judas says, "Why wasn't this perfume sold instead and the money given to the poor?" And then John, thankfully, makes this little side note. And he said Judas didn't say that because he really cared about the poor. But he said it because he was a thief. And as a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. You see, well before Judas was offered 30 silver coins to betray Jesus, he had already stuck his hand in that money bag, pocketed a coin here and a coin there. It wasn't enough to raise attention. It was just enough to slowly numb his own heart to what was true and to what was good. I can't help but wonder what it was that happened that very first time he took just a little money from the bag. I wonder if it was just lunch money. Seems like Jesus always forgot about meals, you know. And this long day on the road with Jesus, passed by this nice little falafel stand. I wonder if he just took one of those little coins out, thinking, you know, it's not a big deal. Jesus likes to feed people anyway. He wouldn't mind. Didn't really tell anyone. Didn't really seem all that necessary. It was just one of those hundreds of daily small decisions that surely wouldn't amount to much. Because they never really do, right? If you're dishonest in the small things, so you will be in the big things. Before he knew it, a coin here and a coin there, slowly the heart of Judas was numbed. His eyes slowly blinded from his very own deceit. Until there was that day. That day that was made possible by all the other days before it. That day that he got the offer he just couldn't resist. Hey, Judas, you're the money guy we hear. We've got something that we need to run by you. And with that, the hundreds of small daily choices to do what he knew wasn't right to do, open the door for that big choice that would take him to his grave. 2,000 years later, who's Judas? The guy that betrayed Jesus? It all led to that day. And it started with a falafel sandwich, or at least something just as ordinary. Because integrity has always been about doing what's right in the smallest, most unseen, most ordinary of things. She who is faithful in the small things. One practical challenge to help us perhaps be a people, maybe just this week, whose daily actions are more and more honest and more true. Refuse to let any part of your life be in hiding. I can guarantee you that Judas stole those first coins when no one was looking. When there was no one there to tell him what you're doing is wrong. And you see, no one is asking you to tell everyone everything. No one does that. But we all need a circle, maybe a very small circle, of folks in our lives that we refuse to hide anything from. And here's a word on that. Your spouse should be in that circle. On top of that, a therapist is a great addition, if you got one. And then maybe just one or two friends who love Jesus and who love you. And in this small circle of trust, you've got to let real people in on the real temptations of your life. Judas needed that small circle. Just think if early on, if he had just pulled Peter and John aside and said, oh, look, guys, today I don't really know what got into me, but I was hungry and I stuck my hand in the purse and I used our money on myself. My initial reaction was I wasn't going to tell anyone, but I feel like I just need to tell you guys. Maybe I need to even ask you guys to take this purse from me. Maybe I've got a better role in this group I should play. Maybe treasurer's just not really my thing. Oh, how things would have been different if Judas didn't keep his secrets as small as they seemed. If he had shared them with just a few people who loved Jesus and who loved him. Those people in your circle, consider this. Consider this and be honest about it. They should be able to have full access, passwords and all, to your phone, to your email, your computer, your bank account, without that stirring up any anxiety in you. And if you feel a little anxious just hearing that, ask yourself for real, is there something that I'm hiding? And maybe today, just start asking God for a little courage to bring it to the light. Our world is begging us to be a people of integrity. Jesus is calling us to the same. Come out of hiding. Whether you've just taken your first coin or you're already pocketed the 30, doesn't matter. Step into the light and let your actions be honest and be true in all the small things that we do. He who is faithful with very little will be faithful with very much. Amen. Integrity. Secondly, it's being faithful in all those daily things that we commit to. Ouch. In his sermon in Matthew 5, Jesus says simply, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. He says, don't be a people who make a whole bunch of oaths and use fancy words to try to prove your integrity. He says, just let your commitment to follow through with what you're saying you're going to do be proof enough that your word is good. Jesus didn't just teach that. Jesus lived that. Have you ever thought about all the commitments that Jesus made as he walked this earth? All along, he kept telling his disciples what was going to happen to him. He kept saying, you know, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be in the tomb for 3 days. I'm going to raise again. They weren't so sure about that. But you know what? Jesus did what he said he was going to do. Think of those people throughout all the Gospels that would come to him and they would ask him for his help. And if Jesus ever said he was going to be there, he was going to be there. If he said, I'll be a few days late, he was going to be a few days late. If he had said that he was going to heal someone when they get home, don't worry, your son will be okay. Guess what? When they got home, their son was okay. He was a man whose yeses were yes, who did what he said he would do. This is who we follow. And I might argue that following him in this is maybe more relevant now than ever before. In a culture as wishy-washy, save me a seat, but don't expect me to actually be there as ever before. In this world we live in, where everyone's favorite option on Facebook is interested. What does that mean? Interested or maybe. But where so few ever simply just say no or yes. We need to hear these words from Jesus again. Just let your yes be yes. And just let your no be no. Can I tell you guys this morning, a little bit vulnerable, one of the most challenging parts of being a pastor in America in 2019 is keeping our volunteer servant leaders encouraged. So often I've got folks in my office who have stepped out of their comfort zone to share their gifts to bless people, to bless us. And maybe they've given up one night a week, not to mention prep time. Or maybe they've decided to provide something that is life-giving for our community and they're asking us to be a part. Or maybe they've invited us to help them reach out and visit some folks who need to be visited. And so often, it happens like every 2 weeks, I have one of these folks in my office and they're discouraged. And they're saying, I think I want to quit this role that I've picked up. They're saying, because all these people, they told me that they'd help. They told me that they wanted to visit. They told me that they were committed to showing up and to growing together. And here I am so many months in, and I keep showing up. And I keep pouring my heart out, but they've all but disappeared. And they didn't really say anything. And I don't know if I did something wrong, if I'm not a good leader. I don't know what it is, but I'm hurt. And I'm not sure that I want to try this leading thing again. Because people always say they're interested. They want to be a part, but when it gets down to actually showing up and doing it, so few join in and stick with it. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. It's being faithful to those daily commitments that we make. If we say, yes, I'll see this study through, then let's just see the study through. We say, yes, I'll teach Sunday school. Well, then let's just teach Sunday school. If we say, yes, I'll be at my kid's game tonight. And the boss says, I need you to work late. Let's just be at our kid's game that night. Let's just say, you know, there's already a commitment that I just can't break. You notice what Jesus isn't saying, what I'm not saying. Don't say I said this because I'm not saying this. Notice what no one is saying. No one is saying say yes to everything. I believe that our struggle with keeping our commitments today is that lots of us just really kind of stink at saying no to things we should say no to so we can say yes to the things that we should say yes to, right? Yeah, I think so. Because one, we like to please people, don't we? And most people don't like being told no. And two, which I think is more important, we struggle to know what our priorities are. And so we can't even decide what's worth our time and what's not. If I asked you point blank right now, what are your top three priorities? Could you say them? Have you asked Jesus about them lately? Or would you be like, blah, 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 blah. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. Is your priority earning money? For some it is. Is it security? Is your priority being with your kids? Is it traveling? Experiences? Is it being involved in your community? Is your priority worship and growing in Christ? Is it getting your Netflix binge on this weekend? What is your priority? Talk to Jesus about that and make sure y'all agree. And then know what you're about. And when you know what you're about, because you've let Jesus tell you what you're about, you can say yes to the things that line up with that, and you can say no to the things that don't line up with that. And then those things you say yes to, you're actually going to show up because they reflect Jesus's heart for you. It's not going to be a burden. You're going to want to show up to what he's got for you. And you're not going to want to miss it for the world. And you won't let anything keep you from it. He who's faithful in the small things, like keeping his little daily commitments, will be faithful in the big things. Finally, integrity is being consistent in the words that we speak, namely about others. James 3 compares the tongue to a small spark that can set an entire forest on fire and ruin an entire state's summer plans. You know about that. And he says, in just the same way, the tiniest passing comments that we make about others can draw folks to us or can push them away from us, can bring folks up to life or can destroy them in our midst. The tongue is that powerful. Did you know that there were some people that Jesus had a hard time with when he walked this earth? There were some people that he didn't much care for day in and day out. There were some real people on this earth who kind of drove Jesus a little bit crazy. Some people who didn't get what he was all about. There were some real people on this earth who wanted nothing more than to do Jesus in. These people were the Pharisees. And they were always, always pushing against Jesus. You know what? Jesus said a whole lot of things about the Pharisees. But you know what else? He always said those things directly to the Pharisees. He didn't go off with his disciples and say, you guys, I just got to vent about these people and run his mouth about the Pharisees. He didn't spread gossip. He didn't play their game. He spoke his real words of concern about them, but he did it right to them. Because Jesus wasn't against them. Always, even in his words that were hard, Jesus only really loved them. Even the people who were totally against him. Here's the question this morning. In our daily conversations, how often do we say things about other people with no intention of saying those things to those people? Talking about them, not with them. Call it gossip, call it venting, call it we live in a small town and we're just passing time. How we talk about people behind their backs matters, you guys. It is nothing less than a reflection of our integrity. It reveals the real state of our heart. We all know this. If someone's talking to you about others, you can bet they're talking to others about you. You're not dumb, and you know that, and you know those people are, and you stop trusting those folks with your heart. And Jesus has asked us to be a people who can hold each other's hearts. May we speak words that honor and lift up. May we exercise integrity with all of our small, passing conversations. Because he who is faithful with very little will be faithful with so much more. Just a little idea this week. You got three ideas. It should be a good week. Each time in conversation, you hear yourself say the name of someone that is not in that conversation, right then and right there, would you just pause? And once you hear that name, would you maybe just simply ask, am I willing to go and say this to them? Am I willing to say this and right in front of their face? If they were right here and walked up on this, would I feel totally anxious about that? Or would I welcome them in? Am I saying this out of love for them or as a subtle way to stand against them? And if it's not love, and if there is no intention of speaking these words in the light, how about just not? Just not. Sometimes we make this following Jesus stuff too complicated. How about just not? What we say to people to their face and about people behind their back should be the same. And that's called integrity. And our world is looking for it left and right, because everyone's story in here is that we've been betrayed and that we might refuse to be the betrayers. Even in the tiniest things, our world is looking for Jesus, the Jesus who showed integrity in action and in commitment and in words. May they find him in us, in all those small things that amount to the real thing, the life lived with Jesus thing. Here's the good news. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. That means it's the beginning of a full new week. And here is to a week that is just starting, and it's a week that is going to be jam-packed with gazillions of small things. Holy opportunities, every single one of them. Holy opportunities to align our hearts with the heart of our Jesus. Every single one of them. May it be so. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that you never wavered, that you're the only one we can point to who always did what you said you were going to do, whose words, even when they were hard, were words spoken in truth and in love. Thank you that you were a Jesus whose actions reflected your heart and showed us the way. God, we can leave words like this and think of all the ways we've messed up. And that's not so helpful. And so in these moments, we simply receive your grace. Because there are a gazillion small things, which means there's a gazillion ways that we could have messed it up here and messed it up there. And so as we receive your grace, rather than feel this burden to go out and do it all right this time, could we instead feel the freedom to try out this thing called integrity, to have some fun with it this week, have some fun showing up where we think we should show up, and have some fun doing some things that might stir up life around us. And having some fun speaking some words that bring people to life. That's what we're eager to step into. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the way. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.